This episode of Pomcast is sponsored by The Wool Kitchen. The Wool Kitchen makes fun and colourful yarn that's hand-dyed in East London.
We offer yarns that make you want to knit. Drawing inspiration from vibrant culture and the ability to see life in colour, you will find creative yarns with equally creative names.
We say, embrace the colour. Check out our variegated yarns, from punchy pool parties to sophisticated zips of colour, including British breeds and luxury merino silks.
There is yarn for all. Watch the alchemy come to life on Instagram at The Wool Kitchen as we look forward to the new year ahead with new bases and Edinburgh Yarn Festival in March.
Enjoy every stitch.
Hello! Hi and welcome to Pomcast. This is the podcast brought to you by Pom Pom Quarterly Magazine, a knitting magazine, don't you know? I'm Sophie Scott and I'm joined in the new year, happy new year, to Lydia Gluck.
Hello, happy new year.
You look confused, you're like, wait, who am I?
Because you said happy new year too, but I realised, anyway, there was a preposition confusion in my brain.
More of that coming up.
You like that? You get a lot for us. Anyway, happy new year
happy
to you
new
too,
year.
Sophie.
Feels like it's been a while since we've settled back into the old podcast groove.
It has indeed, because those of you who are sort of regular listeners, or long-term regular listeners.
I know I am.
Can't get enough of it. We'll know that we had a sort of hiatus of sorts, because our wonderful producer, Eli, who makes the sounds sound good, he had a baby.
Oh boy.
With his lovely lady wife.
We've met the baby.
We were hanging out with the baby earlier.
100% best baby. 10 out of 10.
Would hang out with baby
yeah.
again.
Yeah. Would baby again.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we were both here recording
yep.
in sunny Walthamstow.
Here we are. If you've never come along to this podcast, that's what it's going to be like. So we talk about knitting, we talk about what we're knitting, we talk about the magazine Pom Pom Quarterly, if you're not familiar with it. Where have you been? Only the hottest knitting mag, bar none.
We do, and we've also got a new segment, which we will reveal later.
I'm excited about this. I've even come up with a cool name, which I haven't run by you yet.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
Yeah, which I can't wait for you to dismiss.
I just really like the word segment.
Huh?
I like the word segment.
Okay, well...
I was just thinking about oranges.
I thought, like, that was the name of the book. I like the word segment. Okay, maybe we should call it that.
No, I was just musing. Anyway, yeah, you can tell we're a little out of practice. Yeah. That's okay.
Let's remind ourselves and the people what we've got. We've got news, and then we have tell and tell. We tell each other what we're knitting.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like show and tell, but you get the idea. We've got reviews with our lovely sponsors, The Wool Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at a book, Weave This.
Weave This.
Which links nicely into our interview, which is with Francesca and Brooke, who run the London Loom in London. And then we have our new word segment and top three, where we list things.
In threes.
In threes. So come along for the ride. Why don't you? It's news.
For you.
For yous. For yous. So much has been happening. What has been happening? Well, issue 24 is on the horizon.
Certainly is. We are working on it well. As
now,
soon as we're finished recording this, that's what's going to happen.
That's what happens. Do you think we're busy? We are.
So we've been working on that. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of news, but only because it's been a while since we did recording.
I mean, personally, there's, you know, eons of news that I could talk to about.
That's
eons?
True.
Is that a measurement of it?
No.
But
I mean, actual news about what Pom Pom stuff is doing. We've got, it's now the season, tis the season, to go to knitting shows.
It is, and I love a knitting show. Do you know why I love a knitting show?
You love knitting?
That's a given. I like meeting the people.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting the people who listen to the podcast, because they say, oh, you're tall. I was like, yep. I'm just translate over sound, but I am. Meet the people, seeing all the pom knits that they do, seeing all the other people who do the knitting, like people running the stores.
Yeah, we get to hang out with our knitting buddies, who often we only get to work with via the magic of the internet.
Right.
But it's nice to be in the same room sometimes.
Get the little collabs, kind of. I'm calling them collabs now, it's 2018.
Ooh, and
there's collaborations.
For those of you who don't know.
Not a delicious ice cream dish I like or something, I don't know.
So specifically, we're going to be at Unravel, Which is 16th to 18th of Feb.
Mm-hmm, very soon. And then next month, well, if you're in that month already, it would be next month. And depending when in the period of time you're listening to this, in March we'll be at Edinburgh Yarn Festival, which is the 15th to 17th of March. They're doing it a little bit longer, just mm-hmm. to squeeze in some more woolly goodness. And I can't wait. Edinburgh's fun. Unravel's fun.
They are really great ones. And if those things aren't enough, because they're not, so that's why there's more. We also have volume 5 of Interpretations coming out soon. Mm-hmm. So those of you who know Hohi and Vera's work, and if you don't, Hohi and Vera are two very wonderful designers who have been collaborating for quite a few years now.
Four or five, at least.
On collections which they call Interpretations, in which they design patterns based on words. And Interpretations 5 will be the latest one, so that'll be beginning of March this year. So Pom Pom Press will be printing that, and there will be various exciting things going on, including that collection being launched at the Hill Country Weavers Retreat the first weekend of March, for those of you who are in that area or on the other side of the pond.
Yeah, in that sphere of influence, I suppose. So yeah, that's very exciting. We'll of course have more news on the podcast. I want to come back to issue 24, because that's happening.
It's true, we just sort of brushed over that, didn't we?
Don't brush over it. I mean, although we're deep in the eye of the storm finishing it. Issue 24 is one of the more thematic pom-poms, would you say?
I would say so, yeah. So yes, for each issue of Pom Pom, we have a different feel and theme. It's still pom-pom, you know.
Right.
But often the palette will be very different, and we sort of move between having very themey themes, like when we did the Reflections theme.
Issue 19.
Issue 19.
Issue 19,
yes,
issue
19. Very good.
Very good.
Well done, Sophie, you get a gold star.
You know the product that you work and...
yes, and this falls under the same category as that. The theme, or the sort of inspiration that started the mood board and so on, were stamps. So postal stamps. Postage stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always been really obsessed with
different who doesn't
designs.
Love a good stamp? Who doesn't yeah. love stamps on a letter?
Exactly. So we kind of took the theme as stamps, as kind of global community, sort of trying to celebrate snail mail. And for each of the designs in the magazine, each of them was inspired by a different stamp. And you'll see that those stamps will have been reproduced beautifully by the illustrator Elena Skoreko-Wagner, who did an illustration for last year's spring issue.
Yeah,
it's like a spring
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
She pops up in spring.
She's like a little snowdrop.
Yeah, so we've got some pretty great designs for you.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. So that's coming out. If you're a subscriber, you can find this around February time. Mm-hmm. You'll be plopping through your laptop. Plopping. Delicious. Just as an extra meta thing, the stamp issue, you know, going through the mail and post.
So many layers.
So many layers. Like a folded letter. And yeah, you can find more information about that, the things we talk about. We put it on a blog post, which you can find on the Pom Pom website, which is pompommag.com. And that's where you can buy all the cool Pom Pom stuff.
Exactly. And if you also, by the time this podcast comes out, you should be able to check out the designs on Ravelry.
Oh, yeah.
Have a little look in the Ravelry group and come say hi in the pom-pom thread as well. The podcast thread.
And the pom-pom
like
thread.
That too. All the threads. Okay, so it's time, I think, for Tell and Tell.
That sounds nice. We haven't told for a while.
Told or telled.
Yeah. Let me tell you. I've been doing some knitting.
Is it?
Yeah. So I finally finished my garland, which is a project from issue 6 of Pom Pom, which I bought the yarn for 3 years ago. And I've been working on and off for 2 years. I finished.
I think that is a good example of how, hey man, sometimes things just take time. You're still going to get a cool jumper in the end.
Right.
You don't have to have it now. You still like it, right? You're going to wear it.
I haven't worn it yet, actually, since making it. That's
but
really
it's kind of the wrong. But it's kind of the wrong time of year, right? It's like a bit too cold to just have. Even though like mohair is surprisingly warm, it's still like a very open mohair fabric, I feel like. In a month's time, it might be the right time of year.
Yeah, I should explain it for the non-visual medium of a podcast.
Mm.
If you haven't seen it, it's sort of like a cropped, boxy, polo neck, it's all mohair deliciousness jumper, and it's on the front of issue 6 of Pom Pom. And I tell that
issue
I did...
Issue 7.
Oh, is it... check out issue 6, it's great as well. But issue 7's the front cover you want to be looking at. I tell you, I did wear it on New Year's Day.
It's a good New day Eve. To wear a new cool jumper.
Yep. That's been fun. I feel good for finishing that.
Mm.
And I started a Chrysocolla from issue 23. But I feel I need to do the crowdsourcing. I asked you already, so you have to imagine that I haven't asked you this already.
Okay.
About following cable charts, I haven't followed one, a pattern, with as extensive charts as this one.
I think because there's several different cables all happening at the same time.
Right, exactly. And I need a better system. I think the system I'm going to go with is cutting them all up and, like, sticking them all down, like, going a bit Blue Peter on it to make a new setup of charts. And I'm thinking I want to use different coloured stitch markers to mark out the different segments and then put that on the chart. So then I know, like, okay, this chart...
past green, so I'm on the right.
Exactly. Yeah. So this chart is bookended by green stitch markers. That's my plan. I don't know if anyone has any smoother ideas than that. But
I like that. Well, I remember I also had a look at it and... because I think the other thing that was potentially... like, just like an extra thing to keep track of was the fact that some of the cables had repeats that were like 8 rows and then some of them were longer, but they were all multiples of 8.
Yeah.
So I had suggested that you could, if you wanted to, make them all the same amount of rows. So
that's what
like
I'm
24
kind of
or something.
Going to play with my stick and cut situation.
Yeah, you could do it by hand, you could do it by Photoshop. And then, yeah.
So that's been kind of something I've been musing on. I've done other projects, like I was doing a jumper for my dad, which was like a broken tweed pattern that's been chugging along. Didn't finish for Christmas, but I feel often gift knitting for Christmas. It doesn't...
it's tricky.
It's tricky.
Although I did make a hat for my stepdad for Christmas, but that's much more...
that's a bit
easier. It's slightly smaller. Yeah. I've remembered what I've been knitting.
Okay, what have you been knitting?
I had a complete blank about this earlier. Because I don't think... did I talk about my Ellie Belinda? Was it finished last time we'd done this podcast? I don't think I've talked about
it. I think it was, because you worked for Rhinebeck, but then that was in...
that was in October.
Oh yeah, maybe not.
So maybe not. Well, apologies if I have. I'll keep it short. I made a jumper from the autumn issue, the one that was guest edited by Juju Vale, the wonderful woman who we look to in all our times of crafting need.
That's who I spent New Year's with, which was great.
Oh yeah. So I made the Ella Belinda jumper from that issue, which I made in, what's it called? De Rerum Natura Ulysses. Ulysses. Can't remember if there's an
I must have talked about this because that's the colour yarn I'm knitting my dad's jumper
like,
in.
Maybe I'd started making it because I remember I like went through so many different yarns because I wasn't sure what to use, and I think I even, I was like, guys, somebody's going to send me something. Anyway, I settled on that. I finished it. I wore it at Rhinebeck. Love it.
Yeah.
Great jumper. It's like one of my only jumpers that isn't a really bright colour. So it's actually quite handy because I have a lot of really bright colour trousers and similar things. So it's quite good to have something that's like a bit more neutral, and it's nice warm neutral. So Juju successfully converted me to making brown things.
Oh yeah, we had a long extensive talk about brown on the podcast that she was
we did. So if you're like, why are they talking more about brown? That's the one you need to
issue,
listen to.
Not episode 44, 45? Check it out. It's
I don't know. But I also made the Overcheck cowl from that same
issue. Oh boy, you did.
Also in De Rerum Natura, but in the slightly thicker...
Gillette or something?
Gilead? Sorry, guys. All of this will be in the show notes. Anyway, I made it in really exciting Battenberg cake colours.
I was
going to
say, it does look like a delicious Battenberg.
And I almost feel embarrassed admitting this. I didn't check my gauge before I started. Whoa! Because I thought, it's a cowl. Doesn't matter.
I mean, if I was starting a cowl, I kind of feel... like, you know, I cast on the first chunk, and if I was hating how it was turning out, I'd probably go back.
But you knit it, like, you cast on the whole circumference.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, I should have done a... basically, also, I'd never done double knitting before, so I definitely should have done a swatch, but I was just like, no, I'm just going to go for it. So it turned out that my row gauge... was much bigger, or like that I only did the first half of the chart because if I'd have done both parts of it, it would have been absolutely gigantic.
You could have just like lived in that. You could have put that on and people would be like, where's Lydia?
I could have just put it, would have covered my entire head, and then I could put like a cool hat on it and be like completely anonymous.
Good evening.
But I really love that. And I like how Battenberg-y it is because it's squares and it's pink and yellow. Oh yeah, I don't know if anyone wouldn't know what Battenberg cake is, but it's a cake that is pink and yellow in squares. Also, I made a hat.
Hooray!
I made a dye pyramid hat, which is it's from issue 23. Mm-hmm. Lovely kind of colourwork hat, kind of triangly I'm making like cool hand movements that no one else apart from Sophie can see.
I feel like you have to excuse us if we're a little out of practice, because I think we are a little bit out of practice, but
yeah, it's been a while.
Not about talking about yarn, but talking about yarn into a microphone.
And I made it in Brooklyn Tweed Arbor in a kind of lovely purple colour and a rusty orange.
It does look like some cool Austin Powers hat because of the purple and orange.
Yeah, and I've got like a sort of mustard yellow coat at the moment. It's all pretty. Yeah, it's good. I like it. It's a great hat, though. It's keeping my head real warm.
Well, there we go. It reminds me of, this is probably when I made the edit. I used to have braces and you could choose what colour the little bits that stuck to your teeth. Like the metal bit that stuck to your teeth. They basically had a tiny bit of plastic that they fitted in. And I used to choose like purple and orange like colour combos or like each time have a crazy colour combo.
Do you feel like purple was my favourite colour when I was a teenager, and then I hated it for ages, and now I'm back into it, as discussed repeatedly over the past couple of years. An orange, rusty orange, is like a new obsession.
Oh boy, I am all about the rusty orange right now.
Yeah.
My hat, my take-heart hat I wear, and my
big shawl
is like rusty orange, and my mitts at the moment, they're kind of browny, reddy orange.
That's true, it's a big colour in the Sophie world.
All these things you cannot see, but we'll put on the blog.
Okay, excellent. Well, like, now that we're back on track with Tell and Tell, next month, we won't have to do such a, like, backlog.
Yeah.
And we'll also maybe have started some things from the spring issue, who knows?
I'd like that. I already got some planned, and we'll tell you about them next episode.
We will, and don't forget you can, join in with our knit-alongs on the Ravelry.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of plugging for the groups in Ravelry, but how else are we going to chat to you guys?
I know, we want to see pictures of the things you make and talk about them. So yeah, come join in. You can enter any pom-pom projects that haven't already been entered. So we look forward to seeing what you guys are making.
We have reviews. We are reviewing the Wool Kitchen yarn. So here it is. You can't see it. I just held it up to the microphone just for you guys. So, oh, this is delicious. We have some of the Wool Kitchen BFL Superwash. It's, you know, it's a nice, honest workhorse DK Superwash, 100 grams, 200 meters. You guys, you know what I'm on about here.
It's a DK. Did you already say that?
It's a DK.
I guess, like, we've talked about the Wool Kitchen before.
She sponsored a podcast before.
And, I don't know, did we talk about the amazing Vara t-shirt that Gail made in Wool Kitchen? Maybe we'd have to try and get a picture of that.
Yeah.
Gail, who works for, also is a Pomcat working in Austin with Megan. She made an amazing Vara tee, which is a kind of summery tee from issue 17 in Wool Kitchen yarn. And it's, like, really beautiful kind of purple, variegated, and looks all like lovely watercolory and painted. But I'm going off topic. We should talk about the wool we have here.
Well, the wool we have here, the colour is called Dark Side of Ziggy. And first of all, I just want to talk about the base, because swatching with this, I think it's been a while since I've knit with a BFL, and there's just something so satisfying about a lovely, good quality, pure BFL, which is what this is. Mm. It's just kind of plump, it's luscious, it's not too kind of not too soft, it kind of has a little bit of toothiness to it, but it's still like luxurious, and I just found it so satisfying. I went for a 4.5, maybe a little bit bigger than what you'd go for a DK, but I kind of wanted to give it that space to kind of feel a bit more plumptious when you knit with it. Lydia's giving it a squeeze now. Do you know what I mean?
I like the word plumptious. Yes, I like how BFL is sort of woolly. It feels more like it's crunchier than merino, obviously.
Sure.
So it's got more like, it holds its kind of woolly shape better, but it's still quite, it's not like floofy.
Yeah.
It's still quite smooth.
Right. So we're in love with the base, but the real treat that comes with this yarn is the colour, and this is just kaleidoscopic.
That's a really good description.
Well, in the skein you have this really intense If you've ever seen Into the Wall Kitchen Yarn Skeins, you kind of have like a darker area, and then you get this wonderful, you know what I call to the yarn bum, where the skein has been like folded in half, yeah. And you get the curved bit of the skein. I like a yarn bum. That is like that's where the party's happening.
And that's where you get like the little zips of colour.
Right, exactly. So this is, you know, you've got your neon greens, you've got your pinks, you've got your lilacs, just like soft, like pale lilacs in there. There's this amazing turquoise. It is just, you know, it's like David Bowie was in the skein, right?
And in the sponsor message that we read earlier, it says, embrace the colour.
Right.
And I think you can't help but want to embrace this colour.
I think knitting this on, you know, a kind of wintry grey day, as it was, it just made me happy. You know, I think Helen, who is the Wool Kitchen, she does colour very well, and she does colour for people to, like, enjoy it.
Yeah, and the names, like, the colours are, you know, they're really exciting, but the names just add, you can kind of really get into where her inspiration came
right.
from, and
yeah,
that
she's
makes
got
it
good
even
one.
More fun.
She's got, like, a Frida Kahlo one, which is fun, and there's one called Starman, because, you know, she loves a bit of David Bowie, but don't we all? Yeah, so there's that knittability of a colour that's so, like, poppy and zippy, like, you keep wanting to see what each stitch's going to come out as, you know.
Yeah.
You're having a little squeeze there again.
I am! It's very exciting.
And also, I've wound this, I used a skein winder. What do you call that? A ball winder. Mm. So it's kind of in a little cake, and you get to appreciate all the crisscross of colour. So it's made me very happy.
It's very exciting. Did you have any ideas about what you would maybe make with this?
Well, when the yarn arrived, I was thinking, because I'd seen Helen's version of the Zazie Cow, which is in issue 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that'd be fun, because that's using yarns together by animals, and you kind of have a zigzaggy kind of effect. It's using Anna's, I suppose, painted or signature technique, which is marile. Marile?
Yeah. Marile.
Using, like, yarns together to create, like, an interesting, like, mild, feral-y effect.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, that would be good. It'd be fun. Like, a skein that I want to use for, like, a little signature accessory.
I think mixing it with a solid colour could be a good way to go.
Yeah.
But then, equally, you could just have, like, the best hat ever.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, just, like, a really exciting, brightly coloured hat. And then people would be able to pick you out in a crowd. Yeah. No probs.
Well, if you want to be picked out of a crowd or similar, then you should enter our competition, because thanks to the Wool Kitchen, we have two skeins to give away. So we have the colour, which we were just talking about, which is Dark Side of Ziggy. And we have one skein of Runner, which is a neon yellowy-green...
Ooh.
Acidic, like high-vis safety jacket kind of colour.
Yes.
Which...
And that is a great name, because I think I didn't understand that name at first, and
right.
now I understand it's because you're high-vis running, you know, safety first,
yeah.
everyone.
So if you want to enter that competition and you are listening to within, you know, a hair's breadth of the actual time this podcast is published, go to the Pom Pom website, pompommag.com, and click on podcast or blog. You can find all the details about the show and how to enter. And what a treat, we have a second thing to review.
What?
Yeah, so weave this, Lydia. Better believe it.
I'm a believer.
That's just one of many puns that we love in this book. So this is a book by Francesca Kletz and Brooke Dennis of the London Loom, who, funnily enough, are our interviewees for this podcast.
They are, and you might remember the London Loom... from Pomfest,
mm-hmm.
if you were around at all, they were part of our like knit night, the night before Pomfest started. It was the night before Pomfest. And in fact, Brooke of London Loom took part in Pomcast Live.
Oh yeah, winding the ball challenge, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. But sorry, yes. So London.
Oh, okay,
Loom.
So they wrote a book. So
yeah.
London Loom is like a drop-in. Weaving space, you know, you can go do workshops there. And this book is available for pre-order at the time of this podcast going out. Its release date is the 22nd of February. If you're in London, they're having a cool release party at their studios, which I've got in my diary.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it on Facebook or whatever.
It's just around the corner from ours as well, so
exactly.
It's very convenient.
Yes. So the book is 30 Projects for the Modern Weaver. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd call myself a modern weaver.
Yes, I had to think about it.
The answer was yeah.
And this is all obviously very exciting for me because if you've listened to the podcast...
I'm rushing paper.
If you've listened to the podcast for the last year or so, you may remember that I acquired a rigid heddle loom around this time last year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I
it was like
of...
your Christmas present to yourself.
Yes, it was. I am nice to myself, aren't I? Well, it's like I know exactly what I want, so it's like really well spent. And I made several scarves and I really loved it. And so it was very fortuitous that the London loom then opened up just around the corner.
Yeah. I remember how excited you were. You were like, oh my God. Weaving godmothers have come around.
Yeah, and so we've been very lucky to get a sort of sneak peek at this book.
Yep.
Sophie, what do you think?
Well, one thing you'll realise about these gals, which will become very clear in the interview in mere moments, is how fun they are, and that really shines through in the book, like their personality and their like love of the craft, but also, you know, they have a lot of fun with it.
Mm.
The special note to all the puns they've included, mm-hmm. which is just a smattering of them, just to pick out some of my favourite. Loom with a view, daydream beweaver, the dark side of the loom, the Illuminati.
You can see why this appeals to Sophie.
Ombre 3000, that's very clever. Yawn.
Oh boy.
I got too excited, so I can't. Tiny Tim. You're unbelievable, and The Shade of It All, which is about a lampshade project.
The Shade of It All. Yes.
If you're buying it just on the textile puns alone, you will not be disappointed.
You will not be disappointed.
You will not be disappointed. Yes.
So yes, as Sophie said, Francesca and Brooke are like a lot of fun, and you'll see, if you've sort of seen pictures of the London Loom, you'll see it's like really colourful. And they really just embrace making and just having a go. And their studio is all about kind of just getting people started. You know, it doesn't have to be hugely complicated. I think they try and be very inclusive. Mm-hmm. You know, have kids coming along to do workshops, mm-hmm. and trying to get more guys involved. And they do all sorts of other workshops in their space as well. So if you are in London, it's worth, this isn't strictly a review, but it's worth checking out the space, you know, because... I don't know about you guys, but I really like crafts and making things.
They do too.
So if you're kind of looking, maybe you're not quite ready to buy a rigid heddle loom.
Sure.
Like I did, just, you know, chucking yourself in over the deep end. There are instructions in the book to use like tapestry looms,
mm-hmm.
and to make kind of nice, achievable, because they're like things that you might actually want to use around your home, like a lampshade,
mm-hmm.
for example.
Yeah.
As well as like kind of making fun stuff to hang on your wall.
Yes, they do the decorative thing. Yeah, I want to make clear, even though they're having a lot of fun, a sort of funny stuff, it is a project book which you can follow the very comprehensive kind of instructions, but they have fun with it. They put silly titles in.
Yeah, and like really great clear photography.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's something that if you haven't, I mean, I'm hardly a master weaver, but especially if you haven't had a go yet and you're like, but what is weave?
Yeah.
Or even if you have, because actually I've not done the kind of weaving that's in that book, so it's like a whole new
Yeah, they have some world. Interesting stuff about like doing like curves and all kind of tasseling and different kind of knots, which are really interesting. Also an interesting point I really liked about, they talk about the tools you need and they have a reference to yarn, sort of like an informative, like these are different kind of fibres, but they don't really extensively go into like a supply list or like you should buy this for this project. They encourage people to, you know, get stuff from a charity shop or like root through what they could have already, and they give an instruction of how to sort of make t-shirt yarn and stuff. They're very pro recycling or using what is there already, which is what's in their studio. They have lots of stuff that's been donated or is like, you know, industry runoff, like end of line kind of things.
Yeah.
I just thought that was like a refreshing feature of the book.
Definitely. Yeah, and it might make it seem a bit less daunting if you're like, oh god, but I've already, you know, spent all my Christmas money on this wool for a jumper I'm making. And it's like, it's okay. There's probably just like other stuff you can use. And then you will have nice things looming.
Yes. Do you know what is looming?
What?
Our interview that we recorded.
Is it illuminating?
Yes, illuminating. Yes. With Francesca and Brooke. It actually starts with our little loom lesson. So this is us having a go on a loom. Amy and Me for the first time properly?
Yeah. Well, it was the first time that I'd used that kind of, you know, with pedals.
Oh, pedal. Is that the technical?
Well, no, I don't think it is. Okay. But with more than one pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for my lack of technical knowledge here, guys. But for all of us, it was a fairly new experience, and Francesca and Brooke were really lovely about letting us come round and just play, basically.
It
just have a little go.
Lovely start to a morning to go and do that. And we'll put pictures of what we wove on the blog so you can have a look.
Just a quick note before we start the interview. There's the language is slightly fruitier than it normally might be.
Fresh and fruity.
Yeah, so if there are any people around who you would rather didn't hear slightly fruity language, then perhaps pop headphones in or maybe listen another time. So, if you take a seat, you know a lot about knitting, obviously. A tiny bit. And there's, so you know, there's like a slight difference between like knitted cloth and woven cloth. And knitted cloth is like a has more give, and woven cloth is a little bit more structured.
Mm-hmm.
So on a woven piece of cloth, you will have your two intercepting threads. You'll have your warp thread and your weft thread. So these looms are relatively simple, and they do something called plain weave, which means that every other warp thread will go up or down, and it will kind of just be like, it will just intercept as you go through, as you weave.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, obviously options to make, to have looms that have a lot more shafts and bits and pieces, so that it's not just two pedals, but we just have these two pedal looms. So your warp is threaded up with a white cotton.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good for beginners classes. It's very sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a go, if you put your foot down on one of the pedals to begin with,
this metal bit in the middle is the
lock
to hold the loom together, so just ignore that. Yeah, exactly. So you'll see it. So you go up and down. The like different threads will kind of go up and down.
Yes.
And that will be how you kind of like track your weft thread. So that's your warp thread. And our kind of rule in this studio is just not to cut your warp thread, basically.
Right.
So, and yeah, you might have some inconsistencies with how it's threaded up. That's just our mistake of how we threaded something up.
Yeah.
But then we kind of tend not to let people get hung up on those things.
Yeah.
Like, there are three joined together, and we're like, it's a scar, it's natural, don't worry about it. So the first thing you need to do is pick your first yarn, the weft thread warp.
Mm-hmm.
But I would pick something that's kind of like a DK weight, or like a little bit finer than DK weight, like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or anything like this or this kind of thing. It's perfect.
A nice yellow kind of cotton.
That's cotton, yeah. It's like
colourful thing.
Nothing too fine or too thick.
Ooh, what about this guy?
Yeah.
Is that quite thick?
No, that one's fine.
Cool. Okay. I'm going to go for this classic Lydian colour.
Can I do midway swaps if I cut?
You definitely can do that, yeah. You can just pop them up here and that becomes like a palette, essentially.
Ooh.
Okay, so.
Oh boy!
So, this is your bobbin.
Cool.
And the idea to begin with is just to trap your yarn onto your bobbin by catching the tail, just like that. Just so that you can kind of transfer it onto your bobbin winder and it's not going to come off straight away.
Got it.
And then the idea is you're going to, with your left hand, you're going to go left and right, and with your bobbin winder, you're going to go round like that.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has a mind of its own.
Like,
you have to control it. So that's probably about enough. So it doesn't look like very much, but what we tend to say is, like, to, especially to begin with, we always try to use like a little bit, and then you can use as much of something as you want. You can use the whole thing. Like, you just use one thing for but just to be economical with the yarn. So we put it onto the boat shuttle like that, put the hole into the front, the thread into the hole front, and snap it into place, and then you're ready to weave. So if you put your foot down on the first pedal, it doesn't really matter which one.
Yeah, done.
You're going to put your boat, put your boat shuttle through and keep hold of your tail.
Yeah.
And then push it through and collect it on the other side.
Go through, please.
Yeah. All the way through. Just like that. And then swap feet. Let go of the tail and then bring your comb reed all the way forward and back. Perfect. And now you can go through again.
Ooh. Through again.
Yep.
Yeah.
So just through there. Exactly. And so...
Oops. See, I'm doing it again.
That's it. So as you, exactly, put it all the way through, and then put it through, swap feet, plain weave forward and back, and then you can go through again. Perfect. So that's plain weave. So just keep going with that one.
Yeah.
and correcting your selvages as you go.
Yeah.
And when you finish that bobbin, I'll show you a little bit, like I'll show you the other yarn.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we, meaning me, Sophie,
hi.
And Amy,
Amy
we're
and
all at the London Loom, which is very conveniently just around the corner from Pom Pom HQ London, with the two lovely people who run the London Loom, who I'm going to allow to introduce themselves so that you can figure out who's who. Okay, so I'm going to indicate with hands.
Oh, okay, well, I'm Francesca. I'm one of the people that runs the London Loom. Do I have to signal with a hand now?
No.
And I'm Brooke, and I'm the other London Loom.
Hooray!
So, who? I guess, what is the London Loom, if people don't know?
Yeah, question one. Tell the people.
We started off as a freestyle, what we decided to call a freestyle weaving studio, which is basically just that we do beginners weaving classes on floor looms and on tapestry looms. But now we've kind of, we do lots of craft classes as well. So we do those kind of classes and we do lots of alternative craft classes as well.
When you say alternative.
Oh.
Do tell us more because I know a little bit about some of those. And they should be.
I wonder which ones we should talk about. Is this an 18 plus?
Yeah, this podcast? Is fine. You can be lewd.
Well, I guess the thing is that we.
The London Lewd.
Yeah, this is the London Lewd. That's actually what we should call it in the evening. Because so we do our weaving classes in the day and then we do craft classes in the evening that are just basically things like that we couldn't find in other places. They're not just like regular crochet classes and stuff. So one of the things we do is like, for example, we have a jewelry making class that we've designed ourselves where we've designed lots of like cool geometric like perspex beads in different colours that we can add pom-poms onto and stuff. And we've designed some pretty, if I do say so myself, cool ones.
I think I've seen some pictures and I agree.
Oh, well, thanks, babe.
I concur. They are cool.
But then the one that I guess like you were talking about is that we do something that we call membroidery, which is like genital embroidery. So which people always go, I have to embroider on my genitals.
You're like, yes, no, we're asking you to embroider.
Yeah, they're surgically approved needles and threads. So don't worry. DMC Embroidery Floss is actually sponsored by the NHS. That it's just so we encourage people to kind of go and bring a picture or go to the bathroom, take a little snap or take a hand mirror and have a little embroider of their own member. And I think it started off as kind of like a get to know your body. People don't know what bits are bits. And so we did it once, the first class we ever did together where we did like a vagina embroidery because it was all women. And it was just kind of like, that's actually not your vagina, that's your vulva. But let's embroider it anyway. So it's kind of more of a vulva embroidery class because that's what you can see. So there you go. But there are others. There are other things too. Pom-poms and other such things, which we also incorporate genitals in sometimes. So there you go.
Just as a quick aside, actually, I've just realised that some people may recognise Brooke from your guest starring appearance at PomFest Live.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, you're welcome. I didn't win.
And she didn't.
Oh, but actually, yeah. Do you know what did happen is that
me,
won a pom-pom maker in my kit, and it revolutionised the way that we made pom-poms. And
they're good, aren't they, pom-pom
that's
makers?
That's so great. And now we've got 45 of them
there
in the studio.
There we go. I know, because people always... So this is a conversation I've had before, where people are like, pom-pom makers, but you can just use cardboard. And you're like,
no.
Yeah, you can.
Next level.
But then you have to... Yeah. Like, sure, if you're just making one pom-pom.
Yeah.
But
sure.
What if you want to make many, many pom-poms, for example?
Exactly.
Then you want something sturdier.
Yeah.
You can reuse.
So speedy.
And there's whole books dedicated to designing pom-poms. So they look like faces and ice creams and
stuff. Yeah. We've got a few of them.
We've got them all.
You've got like a spooky eye on your Halloween decorations.
Yeah, got them off the Pinterest.
Oh, yeah. Off the Pinterest. I like that.
Off the interwebs.
That guy. Yeah, we've gone pom-pom mad. It probably is just, it's all spawned from that. Starring
moment. Great evening, yeah.
Yeah, I filmed the entirety of Brooke's appearance on stage. It was We were pretty hopped up on knitting. It was great.
Look how great I am at making balls.
Yeah. Making them, whatever else.
That's the members only club.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, making balls is another late night.
It's a different one. It's related to the other one. So you guys, before London Loom, you both existed.
No.
What were you doing?
Hardly.
Just about. You were birthed out of a loom.
We were woven together.
What brought you to weaving and teaching other people to weave and make pom-poms and so on?
We're like looking at each other. You go first. Okay, well, in amongst other crafts that we're doing, I started tapestry weaving only a few years ago, and I was living abroad, and when I came back to England I wanted to find a proper weaving class, so I could learn to weave on a loom, because I love knitting but I'm not like super good at making like patterns in my knitting, so I wanted to use something like a loom to make it easier. And then I just couldn't find anything that suited what I wanted, and I went to my sister lives in Tokyo, and I went to go visit her, and I was looking for stuff to do while she was at work, and I found a weaving studio where they use the looms that we use, because they're Japanese, and I did a 5-hour class. I made a scarf, and I just thought it was so fun, and me and Brooke have been kind of looking for an excuse to get away, because we met teaching craft classes, mm-hmm. For other people, hen parties and things, and so I kind of came back, and I was like, I think I found the thing that we want to do that's like different from what we've been doing. And we bought a loom, and then I went to New York to train with the Japanese studio there, and stole all the odors and made them better. And because they have so many amazing textile studios in mm-hmm. New York that are just like things that we don't have here. And I just kind of, and kids go to them, and they have after school programs, and they're nearly like widely followed, and we just don't have anything like that here, so that was sort of the beginning.
And Brooke, what about you? What's your background?
I studied fashion in New Zealand when I was a young child, and then I came here 3 years ago, and I've got two kids, so I had to work like regular hours. So I worked Saturdays teaching crafts to hens parties, which was pretty exciting because I got free booze, hush hush, and it just made me work better, I believe. And actually now when we do our late night classes, we always start the class with the Craig David, which is a shot of tequila and a shot of pineapple juice. So that's the only thing I've brought from my old job through to my new job now. So yeah, tequila.
And all those trimmings we stole. What?
The joke. Yeah, and then yeah, Francesca and I met teaching at the same place, and that's the rest is history, they say.
Pretty much.
Famous.
Mm, yeah. So I think I happened on you guys when you had a much smaller space on Hackney Road.
Yeah.
And I did exactly what you were saying people do earlier. I just like walked in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually remember you coming in so well. Yeah. Because I remember at the time being like, cool gold boots. And like every single time I've seen you since, I've been like, cool great gold. Boots.
I'm really worried that one day these boots will die and I will not have any friends anymore.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, that's like how they used to have the boots.
Yeah.
Or I like, think you're more than the boots.
I don't know. Yeah.
Only time will tell.
I'm hanging on to them. Yeah, and then I was really pleased to find out that you guys were nearby, and then of course you were involved in Pomfest,
yeah.
Which was really great. And then this morning, while we first started talking to you guys, we've been tying knots in little pieces of weaving that we did.
And what beautiful pieces of weaving they are.
We feel very clever. I don't know about you guys.
We're all just kind of like touching. Pressing them and touching them. We're like, yes, they've made a thing.
So, I don't know, Sophie and Amy, impressions of doing weaving?
It's good. I like it.
Okay.
Not so fun.
I love it, actually. I'm going to go so far as say I love it.
Oh. Yeah.
Amy?
I love it too.
It's almost like they're next to us. Yeah, say something bad about it.
But no, but I guess so, because like I've done a little bit of weaving on a rigid heddle loom, which is quite different actually. It sort of didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about prepare. It does feel like quite a different sort of thing.
Mm.
But I guess all of us do knitting, so we're kind of familiar to working with textiles. But I think it is very different weaving than knitting. Sophie looks like she has thoughts.
I was thinking it would be easier, but I mean, it's just a great teaching that I've had.
You're too kind, but it's true.
It's satisfying to have something so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being able to play with colours, I think one of the nice things that you sort of introduced, like, okay, make a chunk of fabric, and you're like, okay, great, now go, because you've got this amazing, behind us you can't see, but we'll take a photo for the blog, loads of cones of colours, and being able to think, like, I'll put this, like, lime green next to this pink, and be able to introduce all these different bits. I think that's a really nice immediate way to play with the colours.
For sure. I think that it's really nice for us because our looms are so easy for beginners to use. And when I first had my first ever like technical weaving classes in London with different like proper like traditional weavers, it was like difficult because you're focusing so much on how to thread the loom, how to make patterns, how what things you're lifting up at what time. Our looms are so simple, and like being able to, as like, you know, people who knit, you know, being able to use lots of different weights of yarn and different cloth and different fibres all next to each other is really exciting because you're kind of painting rather doing something technical.
I mean, what's been the response from like the people that you've had interested in? Is it just like textile people or just like a huge range? And I suppose not a lot of people have had access to a loom before. No. Not really like a household object.
Yeah, although we do have a lot of people walking away being like, I need to get one of these.
Right.
Well, it's not that simple.
They're quite expensive.
They're quite expensive, and we've done a lot of the hard work for you. So essentially, we just want people. So the idea is that you just come in and just sit down and do it. Just do it. That's my tagline.
You should not.
I know. Heaps of people into no trouble ever. Yeah. lost my train of thought now. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, people love it. Our demographic is women who love kind of crafts and doing things with their own hands. There are a lot of people that come because their colleagues or friends have come and been like, look what I made. And then a lot of birthday presents is a really good idea to come with a mother or a stepmom because you're spending time with them, but you don't necessarily have to talk to them. and you're doing something that's tactile and it's really satisfying and really therapeutic and relaxing. So it's really lovely to see parents and children work together as well, because it's a level playing field. They're both learning the same skill at the same time, yet the child often is much quicker at picking it up, but also produces just the same amount of cloth, and often they don't have any inhibitions with colour choices and they don't double doubt themselves, so they produce a lot of cloth. And it's awesome to see a child and a mother, or a father, actually, fathers are great, come in with a child. Boys as well, great to have boys on the loom, because it's a piece of machinery as well, so they kind of like that aspect. Just putting them next to each other and just being like, you guys both started at the same point. None of you are at an advantage. And that's really special because we don't have, I've got kids, so I'm always better at them than everything because I've had practice. But at this particular craft, they're even. And it's really lovely to see the kids be like, just that boost of, I can do that too, just like them.
Yeah. And I think we always find it really nice that like we always find parents coming in and like tell kids not to touch stuff. And we're really like not precious about the stuff in the room. So we love doing like mixed ability group workshops and stuff. But also like when kids come in, it's like they're just, it's just yarn. Like they're allowed to touch it. Like it's not going to break, you know, like, so unless like kids come in and like grab hold of the looms and they shake them and they throw all of the bobbins on the floor and then we're like, please don't do that. But that doesn't really happen. But yeah, so it's really nice because, yeah, kids are just, they're allowed to touch stuff. And I think most craft studios in London where you teach adults, it's like for adults. And I think that's great. And obviously, like, that's why part of the reason why we have our late night crafts as well, which are definitely 18 plus. But like, in the day, it's like, you know, it's so nice to have it mixed.
Yeah. So I know that also you have like little kits. Like the tapestry weaving kits as well. Do you do classes as well for tapestry weaving, which is how you got into weaving?
Yeah, for sure. So that's one of our late night classes, but we do that one every month. So we do every month our tapestry weaving, because the tapestry weaving is much like slower and more technical. You really need to like have a 2-hour lesson so you can learn how to do all the bits. Whereas like the freestyle weaving, people can kind of drop in and out because, as you saw, the lesson is like 10 minutes long. But so for the tapestry weaving, we sell kits, but also we do the class. So the class happens for 2 hours in the evening, and the following week we'll have something that's called a tapestry club where people can bring their looms back and just use our yarns, because we have over 400 yarns in the studio. So it's really nice for people to come back with their projects, because tapestry weaving is a lot slower as well, and it kind of gives people an excuse to have like a kind of group that they're part of. So
we were talking a lot about the kind of craft world in general. I don't know how to word this without me. Because I think what you guys are doing that's really nice is craft that feels very non-gender specific, even though, as you're saying, you get probably more women and young girls than you do guys, but it does feel quite kind of gender neutral.
Sure.
And very kind of open access in terms of age and ability and so on. I'm not entirely sure what my question is. I guess just whether that was a very conscious choice, and if so, why?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I expected.
Yeah. Well, because when we started teaching, we were working in a space where the craft was the add-on community kind of group activity. And we were like, no, this is worth its own weight in itself. And so we were like, we're not serving tea, we're not cake, we're not hostesses. You're here to learn a craft, and we've got the technical ability to do that. Let's cut out all of that nonsense. Because I think a lot of people associate cake and tea with craft.
I do too.
But also have cake and tea on a building site. Thanks.
This
very
is
much.
True. And
it's just 3 o'clock, you know. Yeah. Not because you're knitting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And we were just very aware that that was something that we wanted to cut. We wanted to make very clear that that was not something that we were going to offer.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to bake your cakes. I'll bake Francesca cake, but yeah, we're not going
and
to
I'll
do
eat
that.
It.
And we were very aware that traditional craft places, because we've worked in them, were quite specifically designed. There's lots of floral, there's lots of flag bunting, there's lots of gentle, kind words, a lot of pastel, and we were just like, nah, we want pink, and we want orange, and we want yellow, and we want it all together, and we want everything to be bright and colourful. That was our kind of shtick.
Yeah, and I think also because we love crafting, and we've always been drawn to places that have the rose bud flag bunting because like we like to make stuff, but I think we've always just been like disappointed that like, yeah, but where's the neon, like where's the fluorescent green, like what, you know? And it's like, just because, and I think then it's like really, we've spent a lot of time sourcing out the like cool yarns or whatever because that's what people actually like to use when they come here. Like, they're not looking for like pastels. And I think that if you market, I think we've had a lot of this with like back and forth with different kind of people that we've worked with as well. Like, if we market something just to crafters, they'll buy it if they like, they'll want to do it. Mm. They won't care if it's got pale pink or whatever. It's just that that's the trend that's been given.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like infantilizes craft and stuff. And I think that we were always like, actually, if you just show like yarn and this is what you're doing and this is a machine, anyone who likes making stuff with their hands will be interested in it. And I think that, like, also our studio is pretty, we try to make it as neutral as possible where we just have weaving on the wall. And like, it's as kind of, I mean, there's lots of like neons and stuff, but like the walls are just white. We don't have like, you know, any flags up or whatever. And I think it's like, no flags. I'm like,
what? Flags? Where's my New Zealand flag on?
Yeah. I took it down.
Heard it?
Now that you have a hung parliament, I took it down. So I know loads about the New Zealand government now, because that's
getting real.
I'm paying attention. But yeah, because I think we wanted people to come in and be just in, like, it, people just look at the wall of yarns because they're like, that's what they want to touch, that's what they want to play with. And like, yeah, that's a big thing for us. Like, we
also get people coming in who aren't crafters. This is the thing. Yeah. We're attracting people because of our colour palette. And people are like, what's that? I want to go. And then I have to explain to them, it's bloody easy. They join. So we have a lot of people, like our friends, our intimate circle of friends. This isn't their thing at all. And yet they will come and be like, oh, that was amazing. Like, I love touching that. I love making it. So not only are we trying to target the crafters because we're sisters with them, we're also trying to target people who are just like, I just want to do something for myself. Or I just want to get back to doing something with my hands.
And it's so simple that I think people find it so satisfying because you can just make something straight away. And you are making actual cloth and like learning about what that means and like, you know, and the differences between different fibers and using your kind of hand-eye coordination and your brain to kind of figure out how to make something, which I think is so. And also I think that it's interesting because like, we definitely have a bigger demographic of women for sure, but we do get men in, like we like to tell people we have an 100% male walk-in rate.
Yes.
Yeah. All two of the people that have walked in and taken a lesson straight away have been men. So yeah. And good. On men on yeah. their own. So and our last yeah, that's science.
Yeah, yeah.
That's science. There. There, my friend, is what we call yarn science. So but like yeah, but like also in our membroidery class, like our genital embroidery class last week, we had 3 men, I think, out of 15 people, which is might not sound like a lot, but it was like we saw a lot of dicks. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, they were well into it.
Yeah, they were well into it, and they did really well. And
yeah,
like,
and it's nice for the female to. I'm gonna be genius for something. For the female to be like, hey, man, come to my thing that would be traditionally thought of as a female craft. We get taken on to shitty football games and stuff, like, or you know, to these things that we don't necessarily want to go to. And it's so nice for a man to come and be like, oh no, this is great, like, totally do this again.
And I think it's
been football.
Yeah, you like football.
Yeah, and you can weave your own football scarf.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably knit yours, you know, but whatever. weave it instead.
Be quicker. So
yeah, can weave it in time for the match. Am I right, guys? Is that football terminology? I just don't know.
But do you find when people come here who have like very little kind of textile background that making bits of cloth, I don't know, I feel like it might change people's relationship to clothes, to the clothes they wear?
For sure. That's all I've got to say about that.
We
have a vegan market next door, maybe we're. And we have a lot of vegans there, actually. And one of the things that we're really passionate about is sustainability and specifically wool and the fibres and the content and the just beautiful qualities of wool. And so we like to have debacles with these vegans about why they should actually be using wool and how using acrylic, which is great because it's not from an animal, is actually really bad for the environment and it's really bad to wear and it sucks all the moisture. Like, we could just go on for ages about how great wool is. And how even cotton and linens, just all the water that is used to process this stuff. Right. So like we love teaching people about that kind of aspect of why we use these fibres in what we teach.
For sure. And I think we've always had one of the things that we've still building up to, because we've only been open for 9 months. We have almost 10 months now, so we haven't like got to that point yet. But we've always wanted to create like an after school program where kids come, because you can plan whole projects on these looms and make a jacket and whatever. And obviously, because Brooke's got like this background as well in garment construction and knows what she's doing, we want kids to come and make whole projects and like learn a bit about like fast fashion and how long it actually takes you to make a jacket or how long it takes to put something together, and you know, just recognize that we shouldn't be able to get clothes that are really really cheap for nothing but really easily and throw them away and are made of nothing. So yeah, that's definitely something that we're pretty interested in terms of
Did you make the cardigan you're wearing?
I did.
It was nice.
The first cardigan I made.
Nice.
Thanks. It's merino. New Zealand merino.
Yeah. Representing.
Represent. And it's green. The green party is amazing.
I was thinking about that this morning when I was getting dressed, that I was like, I'm not wearing anything I've knitted. I'm not going to be able to show off. And then I was like, well, I don't know if I really want to see anything I've knitted.
You just draped yourself in some woven pieces.
Yeah, I know. I should have put a turban.
Welcome.
Welcome to our studio.
So what would be the future plans for London Loom then?
Oh, funny you asked. Well, just like I was saying about the after school programs with kids and getting people to learn how to do projects, that's always been the idea, is that our looms are pretty like adjustable, and so you can take the whole like kind of the innards of the loom out, so you can store people's projects away. So we just haven't gotten to the point yet where we've been able to buy enough equipment and like plan a proper course for people to do it. But the idea is really that, like, because I think a lot of people, some people come and they're like, so what do you do with the cloth, you know, like, and we don't want it people to produce more stuff that's disposable. We want people to produce stuff that's like useful, and so, you know, this is actual cloth. You can sew it, you can make accessories with it, cushions, whatever. And also, you know, I should say as well, like, a lot of our yarns are mill ends and stuff, stuff that like is kind of almost being recycled because it's not being used anymore. So the idea would be that people can come and make, you know, come for a couple of weeks, whatever, and make like a skirt or a jacket or whatever. And so that you've seen the whole kind of, you know, essence of what it is to recycle textiles, from like getting it from a mill end all the way to someone using it to making something. And so that's the thing that I think we're going to start planning when we've gotten all of our Christmas stuff ready.
Oh. Well, I'm pretty happy with my table mat that I made. Yeah. Don't know about skirt, but...
yeah. You can attach it as like a sporran.
Oh, yeah! Love it.
What are you wearing underneath your sporran?
Nothing,
but it's actually not big enough. Yeah. You can cover, and it's like, we can tell.
It's just embroidered.
Yeah. Being able to kind of come back and make something bigger. Sounds very of interest to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
For example.
Well, first we just needed to see if people wanted us around, and it seems like they do.
Yeah.
And so now that we've got that feedback, we can start planning stuff based on our 10 months of statistics.
Yeah.
And so coming at you next year, we'll be like, well ready.
Yeah. We've got three students right here, I guess.
So yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hold you to that. You're all being added to the mailing list.
Very good.
Speaking of mailing lists and so on, where can people find you if they want to add themselves to your mailing list or your website and so on?
Cool. Well, I mean, we have a pretty great website made by Brooke's husband. Thanks.
Hey.
Little shout out for you there, Beck. But yeah, our website is just www.thelondonloom.com.
Mm-hmm.
And our Instagram handle is @thelondonloom, which is where a lot of people find us as well.
Yeah. And we're open all the time, so you can pop in and say hello, which would be great. Or like everything's just bookable online, which is great as well, because then we can plan stuff.
Yeah.
And we love statistics. So jump online.
The more people who book in online, the more statistics we'll have.
Yeah.
It's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, but we are definitely hilarious in text. So if you join onto our newsletter, we'll send you sweet things.
It's true. I always enjoy the the newsletters I get and the Facebook posts that pop up on my feed.
I've enjoyed your Flight the Conchords references on Instagram recently. That was,
yes.
Oh my god. You know,
crazy that we came across
that. It's just so funny. Like for the last couple of weeks, every time I've watched like something, there's been like a weird weaving reference. Like there was a Simpsons episode Marge was weaving, and
like,
then there was
just this,
yeah. And then it was so funny. And then that Flight the Conchords episode where he's like, only men weave, and I was just like, lol, what is that? How have I never known this before? But anyway, if you have any cartoon or pop culture references to weaving, feel free. Did you know there was actually a David Bowie song? It's all about weaving. No, please don't. Anyway, I'm off on my own tangent.
So for all weaving related things.
Yeah. P.O. Box. No. Yeah.
The other good thing about the location here is that you're next to some cafes and things, and you're down the road from the Pom Pom office. Mm-hmm. Dalston, and not that far, I guess, from Clapton, from Wild and Woolly.
Yeah, no, we're best friends now.
Yeah, we love Anna at Wild and Woolly. Brilliant. She's the best. We've been sort of like added to the little like Hackney Triangle of yarn stores.
Yes, exactly.
We are actually directly in between like Knit with Attitude and Wild and Woolly, and it's just and they have such lovely yarns that we've kind of see if we can plan something with them that we can do in cahoots, because. Yeah, I want to just touch their yarns, basically. I want to judge their yarns. But, this, and I think it's something as well that people have never been to Hackney Down Studios for, which is where we're situated. People are always amazed at how lovely this little area is, because, we're right in between a record store and a yoga studio. How very Hackney. But there's, like, a plant shop and stuff, and there's a cafe, and there's, like, lots of cafes around, and we're right next to Hackney Down Park.
There's theatre.
And we have a theatre as well,
Why
would you ever leave?
Yeah.
We don't, actually.
Yeah. It gets very warm because we've got the insulation from the yoga studio, so that helps us out.
We do have a heater.
Just for anyone visiting in the winter.
Yeah. Don't worry. And we've got facilities. Last time we didn't have facilities.
Yeah.
So we're very happy to be able to say, yes, you can use our toilet.
Yeah.
But that was, we made it when we got a toilet, really.
Yeah, right? The guys from the Serial Killer Cafe own a studio here, so you'll see massive crates of American
Pop-Tarts.
Cereal and Pop-Tarts.
It's better and better.
Yeah.
We've never
a lot of sexy men around here too. Yeah.
And I've got a big window. So if you're a sexy man.
If you're a sexy man, come on by.
If you're a sexy man who loves to weave, please give us a call. Please. We'll take you.
This is my number. Take your card. Give it to your friends.
Okay, well, I think we're probably close to time.
Cool.
So, thanks so much for letting us come and make sporrans.
Yeah, oh my god, you're so welcome. I feel like sporrans should be our new like class, a course that we do. Learn to make a sporran and they'll love it.
Well, watch this space. First night.
Thanks again to Francesca and Brooke for letting us crash their weaving party.
That's great. Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
How many times can you use that? I love it.
But it really was loads of fun, and we do recommend you. Hey, what if you even did some weaving with the Wool Kitchen yarn?
Well, that would just be...
Wouldn't that be awesome?
This podcast in a nutshell.
It really would.
And it's just a reminder that their book, Weave This, is available for pre-order. You can find all the information on their website, which is the London Loom. And yeah, we say check it out. All right, so we've got a fun new feature for the new year. We've had features like Knitters You Should Know About. We started off with Colour of the Cast. Do you remember that?
Back in the day.
I'm glad you remember it.
Ravelry Realness.
Oh, Ravelry Realness.
That was real. It was unreal.
It was unreal.
So, you know, to start 2018, we thought, let's have a newie.
So this is, I can't remember, did you come up with that? It was a friend of yours?
I think it might have been a collaboration between me and Jess.
Okay, so it's textile and wool phrases that are used in everyday language, and we're going to explore the etymology of these. And I came up with a feature title, which
she's now pitching to me for the first time.
Is this feature, I've written it down, is this feature called textiles? The text files? So like the text files, the truth is out there.
The text files, I mean, the thing is it sounds like it's just about text. I love it. It's good.
Because I don't have a second option to pitch to you. So currently the segment's called the text files.
Question mark. As long as you say it with the upward intonation.
I'm text files.
Okay, so what have we got today for the text files?
So we have the phrase pulling the wool over your eyes.
See, now, the reason we're interested in this phrase is because it has the word wool in it.
And there ends the text file. No. So, pulling the wool over your eyes. You know what the phrase means if I was to do that to you, right?
You would be deceiving me.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, because I wanted you...
You're a spy!
I wanted you to like the text files, not look too closely at the title. Like, wait, what's this? Like, no, it's fine. So, bit of research on that.
Mm-hmm.
Several centuries ago, it was the standard practice in Europe and America for both men and women to wear wigs. Interesting.
Good times!
Yeah.
And had fun hair.
Irrespective of whether they were bald or not. These loosely fitting hair pieces were usually made of wool. Nice. Oh. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
You're wearing a wool jumper, Lydia. Ah! The whole time?
No, you're right. Sorry, carry on.
So they were made of wool. Very good. When thieves wanted to steal something that the wig wearer was carrying, they sneaked up.
Pull the wig. So it should be pulling the wig over your eyes.
They sneaked up to the individual and literally pulled the wool (brackets wig) over the victim's eyes, temporarily blinded and confused. The victim didn't know what was happening around them. The thief used this opportunity to run away with what the victim was carrying.
That's a lot more dramatic tale than I thought it was going to be. I almost feel like Eli should have read it out in the horror stories section.
Well, I tried.
No, you did a good job. Pulling the wool. So we could recreate this by just pulling knitted hats down over.
Yeah.
So I could just pull your hat down over your eyes.
I don't think you need to tell people how to be more deceitful in this world. So that's pulling the wool over your eyes. The text files.
Well, I'm so glad that you pulled the wool away from my eyes. Yes. So that I could see clearly into the past and know the origins of this place. I like this segment.
Good. Well, there's one more.
Oh, good. I wasn't expecting there to be two.
Oh, boy.
Excited.
This has got better and better. Wool gathering. Did you know that's a phrase?
I feel like I've heard it as a phrase, but I don't 100%. I wouldn't know how to use it.
Right. So it's sort of someone who's daydreaming or dilly-dallying.
Oh.
Like you're being a wool gatherer.
I bet people have used it about me.
Oh, a wool gatherer. You'd be like, yes, thank you. So it doesn't mean anything to a stash. anything like that. Do you have any ideas what the etymology of this?
Did people used to... Okay, so maybe when wool was was like worth loads of money in like the Industrial Revolution times, maybe people would go and gather the like little floofy bits of wool that would get caught on like fences and trees and things, and you know, to keep them because they were actually valuable. And when you're doing that, it's kind of like a daydreamy job. You're like,
that
skipping.
Is pretty much exactly what I've researched here. So yeah, gathering fragments of wool torn from sheep on bushes and trees. Yes. So it's like an activity that doesn't really have, it's like you're wandering. So like, it's a bit like wool gathering. So it made the jumps to like wandering about aimlessly looking for wool. It's sort of any other drifty, purposeless behaviour, you're wool gathering. So yeah.
I'm going to start using that phrase.
Get used to it, yeah.
Get gathering.
Yeah, get gathering, baby. So yeah, we'll have more on the text files.
Wool.
What does it mean? The wool is out there. I want to knit.
I want to beweave.
I want to beweave. Drop the mic. It's good, done. It's good, it's good. Podcast over. Done.
Okay, knit illusions.
Yes. So ending the podcast as we always do.
In style.
And top three. As we have done in the past couple of January podcasts, we've done knit illusions, resolutions of the knitting style. I listened back to last year.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying that we have a record of what we planned to do last year because...
Really being held accountable.
Yeah. So all right, Soph, go on. So what did we say we would do?
Well, past Lydia. Past Lydia said, this is quite good because you said you were interested in doing singing lessons.
And what did I do?
I know for a fact that you've done many a singing lesson and you've joined a choir.
I have.
Well done.
Thanks, man.
And you also said knit more.
Well, I definitely knitted some more things.
Yeah, what you'd done at that time.
Yeah. I don't know if I knitted more in 2017 than I did in 2016, unfortunately.
Okay. What are your plans for this year?
So just knit illusions or general?
I mean, that is the title.
It's true.
Is it going to be a top three knit illusion? So we just, because last year we went easy on ourselves and we just said, nothing. Yeah.
I think it's quite hard to, considering that I keep failing with my knit illusions, it's quite hard to keep coming up with new ones. I think something I'd like to do this year is knit more socks because basically I should, you know, we always talk about background socks. It's really good to have a pair of background socks. I feel like I've really let the background socks slide.
Yeah, into the background.
Into the background, too far in the background.
Right, they're just part of scenery now.
You want them kind of like behind you, like in a pantomime. Not like it's behind, like you want them like there.
Right. And you don't want them part of the scenery, you want them the gag that's coming onto the set.
Exactly. Sure, that is a really laboured. Anyway, so, because I have a fair bit of sock yarn. And I just feel like I should always have them on the go, because I think I keep accidentally finding myself in the position where I have, like, loads of stuff on the go, but maybe all of it's a little, you know, it's not quite bus knitting.
Yeah.
You know, think how many more socks I could have. I'm going to carry on not cycling. So that's one thing I would really like to do. And I'd like to continue to improve my colour work, because I made my dye pyramid hat, and I've struggled in the past getting, like, I can do colour work, but it's just quite slow, because I knit continental style, and I can do both hands, but my English, my sort of throwing style is not very efficient, so I'm always slowed down by that. But when I was making my overcheck cowl, I started using, having both colours over on my left hand.
Yeah.
And I put a ring on my finger to separate them, which is quite a common sort of, you can get like yarn guides. It wasn't an official yarn guide, but just a ring that sits.
Unofficial yarn guide.
Unofficial. Rip off. It's actually a very beautiful silver ring. so that's been working out quite well. So I might continue to practice that and maybe improve that technique. And then failing that, I really should learn to throw properly with my right hand.
Do you have a colour work project in mind?
Well, I would like to make, there's a yoke jumper in issue 24, so the spring issue is coming out, that has not a huge amount of colour work.
That's just low-key colour work. Have a little taster.
That's true, but maybe I'll make another colour work hat, because that was, it's been a while since I've made anything like that. So those are two knit solutions.
Cool.
What have you got?
Well, last year I said focus on one knit at a time.
How did that go?
I mean, I got my garland finished, which had been languishing for a while because I hadn't focused on it. So I think I did a little bit.
You refocused on something.
Refocused a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably could have done more. I have a really good cupboard now where I keep my wool, and I think that's helped a little bit because I have all my whips stored on the top shelf. And I think seeing that visually, I'm able to see them better rather than being in like a little box, not Tupperware box, like a plastic, a tiny Tupperware, delicious lunchbox of wool under a bed. It's kind of it's a big luxury to see that.
Maybe so. That should be a resolution of mine, to organise my whips.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on. Yes, well, so that was one of, yeah.
So that was, and my actual knitolution, which I've kept so far, is not to buy any wool.
So far this year.
Yeah.
I thought you meant since this time last year, and I was like, no, you haven't.
No, no, no. But like, yeah, this year, and I've kept, well, what we, third week of January, I've kept it so far. Yeah, not to buy any wool.
Any wool at all, all year.
Any wool at all year.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to make that resolution.
I'll be honest. No, I mean, I think there's, I think we talked about a little bit on before in the podcast, where people are like, oh, I'm going to do cold sheep. But I think my reason of doing it is that there'll always be nice yarn.
Yeah.
And I think the amount of yarn that I've been fortunate to have like collected over the years and to have been given from like working at a yarn shop / at a magazine kind of thing, you know, stuff's accumulated, and I think it's more than makes me happy, and I feel I need to like work through it to be, find it creatively enjoyable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Without sounding like I've been spoiled.
Well, it's quite easy to acquire lots of yarn, especially when you're going to lots of shows.
Right.
You know, it's harder to... it's sort of like if you know that you shouldn't go into whatever shop, like the chocolate shop, because you're definitely going to buy things. But if you work in the chocolate shop,
right,
it's quite hard to constantly resist the things that you don't need immediately and buy them in the future instead. And so you acquire... You've just been like, past Sophie was just acquiring lots of stuff.
Right, for now.
For now.
And also, it's always nice to support people, you know, with having all these amazing wools available. But I'm just going to try it. It's like a challenge. Like, it's not really like I'm denying myself. It's almost like a social experiment for myself. Like, huh, maybe I'll see if I, you know, cannot.
Just knit from stash.
Just knit from stash.
Can you knit from other people's stash? What if you really need something? That
would
be okay.
I don't think I'd try not to make that situation arrive. But yeah, I knit some baby things, which was quite good because those yarns that I was like, oh, what am I going to do with this? I was like, oh yeah, I could actually maybe readdress the stash. Anyway, we'd be interested to know what your knitolutions are, if you have any, or any recommendations of, no, you shouldn't not buy anything.
Yeah, as always, we love your feedback, your thoughts, especially, you know, this time of year, everyone's doing reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be lovely to hear what you're reflecting on, what you're planning on making.
What you think of the podcast.
But only if you like it.
You can always review us on iTunes, and that's very nice. We like reading them. It makes us very happy and validates what we do. Thanks. And you can, of course, get in touch. We have an email address, which is podcast@pompommag.com. If you don't want to be shouting out on the Ravelry forums, you can just give us a little private hello.
And if you have any suggestions for sayings that you'd like us to discuss in the textile files.
I think it's called that now.
Text files.
Text files.
Then we would love to hear about those. Or if there's any other segments.
Yeah.
That, you know, we could stack them up ready for when we run out of text files. Never. We've solved them all.
Solved all the files. Anyway, so, well, happy 2018. Thanks for having us back, guys.
Yes, happy new year. We hope that your 2018 is off to a flying start.
Mm-hmm.
That you are surrounded by crafty fun times.
And your ears are surrounded by crafty fun times by us.
Wait. Hey,
is that weird? Anyway, we'll see you next month. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Pomcast was produced by Lydia Gluck and Sophie Scott, with help from Eli Block, who created the original music for this show. For more Eli-related music, go to goodgirlandthebadtimes.com.
Thanks as always to Megan Fernandez, co-creator and editor of Pom Pom Quarterly. And thanks also to the lovely Amy and Gail.
Thanks to our interviewees, Francesca and Brooke of the London Loom, and to our sponsors, The Wool Kitchen.
Of course, a big thank you to all you Pom Pom buyers, subscribers, and listeners. You can buy your copy of the magazine or a copy of one of our books and subscribe to at our online shop, pompommag.com/shop.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. Why not leave a review? Send any feedback or ideas to podcast@pompommag.com. And don't forget to keep in touch with us via the podcast group on the Pompom Ravelry Forum.